Friends, I'm turning this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 13. And I'll be reading verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Please, can you read that portion, people? We thank the Lord for his word. This is what Moses said to his people. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. These are very solemn words from Moses to the people of Israel. And really, friends, this is fundamentally the theme of the Bible. The whole Bible is about blessing and cursing, following God and following the world. This is what the whole Bible is about. And it's all about how we lost our glory because of the fall and how to restore that glory. Obeying it comes with blessing. Disobeying it comes with cursing. This is what the Bible is saying. And this is what has been running through from those days up to our days. That is why we preach the gospel every Sunday. Because the Lord wants us to hear this every day of our lives. Now, where Moses said this thing was after he had set up the covenant that he was entering into the people of Israel. God was entering a covenant with the people of Israel. When you say a covenant, it's like a contract that cannot be broken. And that's what God was doing. And that's what he has done to us as well. We who have come to be believers. He said, I call heaven and earth. And like I said, this is fundamentally the theme of the Bible. Friends, this is very, very serious. Because we live in days where the gospel that is going on now, they do not talk about these things. Yesterday, we were having a discussion during our visitation, and what has come to light is that the people who are preaching prosperity gospel are saying that Satan has taken your prosperity, your well-being, your wealth, and this is what you must strive to get back. So you see people running to mountains to go and spend days and weeks to fast and pray to get those things back. Friends, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are those things? If you go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, before he said this, he was talking about things that we need to live in this world. He will give you, but the most important thing is that is your heart changed? Are you born again? Do that first, and I will give you all the things. Now the world says no. We want to get those things because they assume that everybody who goes to church is born again. So we see people trooping to these places to go and pray and fast. Meanwhile, they don't fast and pray for nothing. They pay money for that. All with the aim of getting back what Satan has taken from them. But if you look at what Moses is saying here, it's all about blessings and curses. We live in a world, we live in a cursed world. This world is cursed. If anybody tells that the world is going to get better, it is not true. It's a curse, it's a doomed world. So come out of it. Come to be under God and let God guide you from this world until the time comes to take us to heaven. The American is say, and I pay me for my family free, the turn me, it's here at the other, and you move, don't crony at your dunno. Now, Hono, and I'm a man, I know a kind of man, yet yes, Moses is someone no one is there for no canoe. A pamon, a couple only is there for no coin, and then Moses, a timu, a bonnet tougher at the actual. Say, and that day, me the Ishra, and then no me at the hammer. Me di owo ene nkwa atoha ma ena Moses no asaka che mo se mi tumufo se mo fa enkwa ti se wo fa owo no a ensem wa etiatie no etie no e be kan be hu se ka se nyakopo ka to aka di wi ase a what it mean eti Moses e ka che mo se omo fa enkwa no se de be ya omo ma ene omo nchire ma nyaa no e be nya nchira. So he was talking to them about the terms of the covenant, the consequences of keeping the covenant and the consequences of breaking the covenant. And then he let them choose whether to enter into the covenant with God or not. And you see, now here, he desires all Israel to choose life. Or ultimately, not only Israel, all of us who have come to be spiritual Israelites, that we should choose life. Because in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, God says, God will have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is the will of God that all men will be saved and come to the truth. Because the Bible says, because of lack of knowledge, my people are perishing. All what people are doing is because they lack knowledge. They don't understand the scriptures. They don't know what the Bible is about. The Bible is saying that, leave this world and come and be under me. I'm the one who created you. As we're reading, he says, he is your source of light and strength. Without him, you are nothing. Without him, whatever you gain in this world, gain you everything in this world, it will be in vain. The mechanic said, we call Timothy Muma Edikan in Shemu chapter 2, any verse 4. Now, we see, on your own person, he said, you are a man, you are a man, you are a man, you are a man. The same in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. In very brief, Jesus said, "Come cast away by a check. Jesus cast away by a check." Now, what Jesus said, "Oyese wa ye nyusa, oyese wa ye slow sa." Nemo uno pese enipe yina enya enuhu na omupa nho asanu waba. In the chat, what Jesus said, "What Jesus said, ebe ya enipe a wubi asinu ebe ti asem nasi." Friends, our time in this world, it's like a probation towards that will determine where you spend eternity. If you see more, you know, if you see your people, dear my, say, you never go by your home, actually, baby, I bet you not that. They say, our life in this world is so short. The life hereafter is eternal, and that is more important than our life here. That is why he's emphasizing on the gospel. Right from the beginning, Moses is laying it before them, life and death, blessings and curses. So you see that God is so merciful, God is full of compassion, he keeps warning us and warning us. That's what Pastor was saying last Wednesday. Any gospel message, any sermon without a warning is not a message. There must be the warning and then the solution. So here Moses is warning them that he's laying down before them life and death. So, like I said, we are in this world to determine where we will spend our life in future. Whether to be with the eternal Son, the eternal God in heaven, or to separate from God, which is to be in hell. If we are here, the man is here, more boy, Emma, if we are here for now, the banner. Say, the better you have a chain, and now say, the back of the open something. He said, we need a phone chain, now open something. There's no in between. It's either here or there. Now, we are going to look at this statement from Moses and then digest it and know exactly what it means. First, we're looking at the two witnesses. Remember, he said, heaven and earth, they are his witnesses. Then, the two options that he has given them, and then the correct answer. The very first Moses, as someone only is there for a kind, and near my womb, now, yeah, as you are the Benya free. We did the kind of, or say, I just inform you, Now, I don't know what kind of work I was in heaven. And I see a show uniform, and a year, my dance for. And I on my own, a crown, you know, be, says I or more and far. And I, a chain, a muaya, as I say, or dimmer. And this reminds me of one of the TV games. I'm sure most of you are familiar with that. It is called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And in this game, there's a host and a contestant. So the host will be asking questions to the contestant. First, he begins with very, very light questions. And for every question you answer, you gain about £100. And as it goes up, the amount increases. And the final one is to get £1 million. And that's why he said, who wants to be a millionaire? So you come, and then he asks you the question, and he gives you four options. Normally, the contestant will look at the options, the possible answers, and then he decides A, B, C, D. Which one should I choose? Most of the time, you see them, A can be correct because of this and that. A can be correct. C can be correct because I know it is not correct. Then comes B and D, to choose between B and D. And then he will choose one. And when he chooses it, then the host, in some kind of threatening way, will ask him, is that your final answer? You know, he asks him in a way that will seem as if he is wrong. And if you are not sure of your answer, you will be tempted to say, no, I will change to the other. Because he will ask you, is that your final answer? Is that your final answer? In a very threatening way. And most of the time, you if you don't know, you will say no. And the whole competition is that if you get to a level, maybe about £400, and you stop, you get your £400. But if you attempt to answer the question and you get it wrong, you lose all the £400. And that is a similar thing to what Moses is doing here. He lays down to them, but in his case, unlike the who wants to be a millionaire host, he gives them the right answer. I lay this before you, but choose it. And that is exactly what we are doing now. Moses gives them two options. Say, you may live in obedience to the Lord, submitting yourself in faith to the words of the Lord, or refusing his counsel and following in your own path. And it's disastrous to follow your own path because you don't know how you were created. You must be controlled by the one who created you. The moment you go outside him, you are ruling yourself, and you end up in danger. So you see that Moses said this in great seriousness. What is your final answer? How will you choose to live? Then he goes on to advise them to choose life. And that is why I'm saying that the gospel is the most serious message on earth. And it's the message that the world is lowering it so down that people think it's all ordinary. But look at what Moses is saying here. He said, I call heaven and earth to recall this day against you. Oh, Fred was so near to us. I just say, gospel music. No. It is the most serious message on earth. Either life or death, blessing or cursing. And this is exactly what Moses is saying here. He said, I call heaven and earth to recall this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his word, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swear unto thy father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So these are solemn words of Moses that he speaks to his people. And they have to be taken seriously. It means it is not a lie thing that he's telling. I call heaven and earth to record this day. I call heaven and earth. That is what Moses means. Fred also near Sassi, Edimadansi, and Nede Makasemachem. It is a Dutch and most people didn't come for a new Kaja one Tiasem. And that's exactly what we are also saying. That we make sure people hear the gospel. That is why every Sunday we preach the gospel. So we can't go and stand before God and say, I didn't hear the gospel. And Christ said the same thing. He said, this message of the kingdom will be preached throughout all the nations, and then the end will come. It must be preached as a witness the people have heard the word and they are decided to choose their own way. So that's what Moses is saying, that I'm calling heaven and earth as my witness, so that one day you can't go and stand anywhere. So now let's look at the two witnesses, heaven and earth. And like I said, the effect is to alert the people so that they will see the seriousness of the word that he's speaking to them. Heaven and earth, they are to be the observers of what Moses is saying to the people. Not anybody, not angels, not any. Heaven and earth itself, the two main creations, are the one that Moses is calling as his witness. So he's saying that heaven and earth are to observe what he's telling them, so that they will stand ready and give testimony at any time when they decide not to choose what Moses has told them. These witnesses are like when we call witnesses in a marriage, like in a wedding, where we call people to come and witness. And the reason is that when there's any issue, any dispute arising out of the marriage, then these people will come and say, yes, we were there when you gave your vow, when you said this and this and this and that. The same thing, heaven and earth will also come and testify that the words that Moses was saying was true. They will say that in their presence, Moses makes these things clear to them. So as Moses gave his final choice to the people, heaven and earth will be able to rise up one day and say, yes, I was there. I was there to witness when the final choice that Moses had given to the people. So they have no reason to complain the harsh judgments of the Lord that has come upon them. Because God knows what is going to come. That is why his, through Moses, is warning the people with such a seriousness that one day they won't come and say that they didn't hear the truth. So when Moses is talking about heaven and earth, he's simply calling the most, like I said, the most general spaces of creation. When we talk about the two most general spaces of creation, is the heaven and the earth. And these are the ones that he's talking about. And as we read in Psalm 19, the heavens speak. Because Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. So heavens speak. So heavens will one day come and testify that you heard the gospel. So if you have been hearing the gospel week by week, and you are not making any effort, and Christ comes, you can't come and stand before Christ and say, I didn't hear. Heaven and earth will come and say that on such and such and such a day, you heard the gospel. You heard the gospel of my redeeming grace, that repent and give your life to Christ, and you didn't pay attention to it. That's why Moses is warning them in such a serious way. And remember when between Cain and Abel, they say the blood of Abel cried to the Lord from the ground in Genesis chapter 4 verse 10. So which means the earth too can speak. But he said it cried out about the blood of Moses. So what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. So friends, heaven and the earth are able to witness against those who fail to submit themselves to the Lord or to his reign. And this is why I'm saying that the gospel that we are engaged in is the most serious of all matters that you will ever encounter in your life. See, we are dealing with a matter of life and death. Moses says, I've laid before you life and death. Yes, there are more important things in life. We need to work, we need to have a career, take care of our families. We need to do all these things. But, friends, the most serious thing is, where are you going to spend eternity? Do you recognize our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord? Have you given your life to him? Not by mouth, but in commitment. Have you done that? If you haven't, there's still opportunity for you, once you are alive, for you to give your life to Christ, repent of your sins, and give your life to him. Romans 6 verse 23 says that we all deserve to die for our sins. So he said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. So the good news is that Christ offered up himself for us on the cross of Calvary. All we need to do is to believe in him. It is not to go to Akia Mountains. It is not to go and spend useless night praying and all. No. Give your life to him and let me control you. Let him guide you and protect you. That's all the Bible is saying. You can go and lie down in that forest for years. And if you are not being forgiven, if you are not being born again, it is useless. God won't hear you. God does not hear any sinner. Some people say, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you are not born again, iniquity is in your heart. How can you pray to God? How can you go and spend your whole time in the forest that you are praying when your heart has not been changed? It is useless. You can go and do all night for how many days, it will be nothing. Give your life to Christ. Come to Him. Ask Him. Beg Him to forgive you and make you His child. Be born again. And then you have accepted God. And He said He will come and dwell in you. That is all you need. That is what we have lost. Not worldly things. What we have lost is the glory that we were created with. The American said, oh, sorry for you. Fear yourself. I saw them. I could bump by here all night. And I will continue at your mountains. I could bump by here. I couldn't come anymore. That's why we are our full fra. The Bible may tell us that Bonnie will come and go for in your own Bible. On Piaba, which I am Pia will boss on Pabon in Chow, no more our football. Would you mumpy against and Christian and Pombi without Uyan the back? We are not body. Until you are born again, you are only a creature. You are not a son of God. So you can't pray to Him. So this is a very, very serious thing that Moses is saying here. And the same thing we are telling you about the gospel. The good news is that Jesus Christ offered up Himself on the cross of Calvary to sacrifice for our sins. Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Yesu, abewu, edin emoji ana, abepa yemboni. The Bible says, yan, shie emoji emua, boni fache niho. He says, yesu emoji ana, embepa, uboni ya, untimi nko, unyaku boni. So these are very, very serious things. And like Moses said, there is a matter of life and death. And this is what we are going to see in our next, the two options that Moses gave them. Moses said before the people of Israel between two ways of life. He said, I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So you see, it was a choice between life and death. It was a choice between blessing and curse. So which way are you going? I remember in SU we used to sing, which way are you choosing? Sinner, make up your mind. And this is exactly what he's saying. Which way are you choosing? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to spend eternity? If you want to spend eternity with God, how are you going to do it? Have you come to Him? Have you asked Him to forgive you of your sins and be born again? If you haven't, friends, this is the time. So, all these choices that Moses is giving in the book of Deuteronomy, time and time again, Moses has been explaining to them the two options right from the beginning. We look at that from chapter 27 up to 29, and then he summarized the whole thing in the chapter 30. So they could obey and live and obtain blessing, they could disobey and die and be killed. I said this many, many times in the Bible, and not him alone, because they wanted these things to be read to all the people of Israel, all the days of their life. So Joshua came to continue, all of them, they were always mentioned. And the Bible says, don't let this depart from your mouth. That's when we met Emmanuel Freeman, who was there. I was there with the beer. It's a year the road. So, oh no, when you are out for a way, if you want to go to the vehicle, you should be back. So the bear or bar, won't you make us one tier seven? And the word of Moses, as I've said in verse 30, is all what he has been saying from 27 up to this, from 27, from verse 11. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, this shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the Lord when ye come over Jordan. Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to Kir, Reuben, Gad, and Asher. See, what he's saying is that when even they cross the river Jordan, like in a play, some will stand here, some will stand here. One will be talking about the blessings, the other one will be talking about the curses. So it means he wants them to repeat these things throughout all their journey, all their life. And it's a message to us. We should preach this gospel. We don't have to assume that anybody who comes here is saved. It is not true. So we need to preach the gospel every day. That's why we preach it every Sunday. And that's what Moses is telling them. Even on their journey, they should be mentioning these things all the time. And then in verse 14, we see that the Levites were to say these things with a loud voice for all the people to hear. For everybody to hear the gospel. And like I said, in Joshua chapter 8, verse 33 to 35, and all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on the other side before the priests and Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim and half of them Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded thee. You see, Joshua is repeating the same thing that Moses has said, that they should be mentioning the blessings and the curses that God has commanded them. God has warned them about. And he said, afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses. See, it's repeated here again. According to all that is written in the book of the law, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. So you see, he continued the same thing, reading the same words to them. Verse 15 to 27 says, "Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in the secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen." See, he's still warning them about idol worshipping. In our days, you don't see many of idols, but we are worshipping ourselves. We are worshipping money. We are worshipping wealth, which is the same like what they were also doing. They were idolizing those things. And we are doing the same thing in our days. Then verse 19 says, "Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow, and all the people shall say, Amen." See, he's repeating the same thing again. Verse 20, "Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovered his father's curse, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be," and it goes on and on and on and on. All the curses that he's talking about, it all comes to mean that you are not living under the commandments of God. You are living according to your own way. And all those curses will follow you. And like I said, those things is in our days too. If you haven't given your life to Christ and you are living your own way, these curses follow you. Let's see verses 28, 1 to 14. It's too long, so maybe you can read it on your own. It is the same thing that is repeating there, the blessings and the curses. Chapter 30, verses 1 to 14. And the blessings are so incredible that will come upon them who will give their life to God. So many blessings. You can take your time and read them. But then if they disobey, then the curses will come. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon thee and overtake thee." That's why I'm saying that we are living in a cursed world. And those curses will apply to you if you haven't given your life to Christ. If you haven't seen it today, you will see it tomorrow. Because we are living in a cursed world. And God's word says, not a word will go without being fulfilled. We live in a cursed world. Give your life to Christ. Let him control you. Let him guide you and protect you. Anything short of that, you are living under the curses of God. And then when you go to verse 16, we see more curses that will come upon the people of Israel if they refuse to keep the commands of God. See, and then they continue to verses, after about 53 verses, if you want to read them, we won't go now. A lot of curses that God has given to the people. Let me just paraphrase what God said to the people that I will take place over them. He said, their city will be cursed. Verse 16. See, that I've said we are living in the cursed world. Their kitchens will be cursed. Verse 17. Their children will be cursed. Verse 18. Their gardens will be cursed. 18. Their livestock will be cursed. 18. Their travel will be cursed. 19. Pestilence will come upon them. Verse 20. Their consumption, fever, and information will come upon them. Verse 23. Overbearing heat will overtake the land. Verse 23. Their enemies will defeat them. Verse 25. Their dead bodies, it goes on and on and on and on. All the curses. It's a serious thing, friends. The curses of God. And if you want to take them one by one, we see them happening in our days. All what the curse is talking about, we are seeing them. And then we are waiting for the final day when the wrath of God will be revealed. Now, he said that things will go so bad for them But when he gets to verse 37, he says, and thou shalt become an astonishment, like people will look at you, and you become a proverb and a byword among all nations, whether the Lord shall lead thee. In other words, he's saying that you'll be like a laughing stock. People will look at you and say, what is happening to the people of Israel? People who say they are God's people, what is happening to them? That is what he's saying. And then, they'll become a joke and a ridicule among all the nations. So these are the types of things that will come upon the Israel if they will continue in their rebellion against God. Then from verse 36 to 68, we hear of more curses that might come upon the people of Israel. Then, in chapter 29, verse 1, we see another appeal to the Israelites. We see the compassion of God. He says all these things, and then he appeals to you again. That is why we talk about the warnings, and then giving you the solutions to the wrath of God. Then, if you consider verse 5 and 6, it says, and I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. That is God speaking to them. I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing and upon you, and thy shoe not waxing old up on thy feet. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drank wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. He's talking about how he led them to the wilderness for 40 years. Their shoes never worn out, their dresses, they never got sick. He gave them water from the rock, food from heaven. He did all these things for them. So why won't you follow him? Why won't you listen to him? That's the appeal from God. He's now appealing to them. And some of us is ekeni na no one in our mom ni na na Awurade dey it's not say owo odoma yiti no asan eka no ho asan eka tie mo say when ti no munya de mo ye na mo meji machi me mom ho bai na o ka tie mo say efie duanan amele pe de mo nam esere so no ma kwata de ampete da mo paboa anye da for 40 years obi anyare ensuo or ensuo fi rock ebuom e ma wo mo o de aduane fi heavy mana Emma Omo. I didn't want to mean Yamamu Tia won't mean it. So he's appealing to them. Why can't you follow me? And the same thing to us. A dear father won't mean Yamao. Or so would they power humano. My young more out for now met now. Oh no one won't fast I see him. You don't need to go to anybody to pray for you. God will come and dwell in you. And what he did for the people of Israel, he's doing the same thing for us. So he's appealing to us. Come and be under me, because I am the one, I am your source of life. I'm the source of strength. You see, so here it is obvious that God is trying to sustain the people of Israel in the wilderness. He kept everything about them. And so their final answer should have been easy. After hearing all these things, like the man in there who wants to be a millionaire, he wouldn't give you the answer. But here Moses is giving you the answer. So the answer should have been easy. Seeing all what God has done. If I say, give your life to me, should it be a difficult thing? No. So he said, keep therefore the words of the covenant unto them, that ye may prosper in all. You see, Moses is not giving them this for nothing. He knows the blessings that will follow. So the final answer should have been, yes, Lord, we will follow you. And that's the answer that God demands of us now. The Lord will give our lives to you. You know we have sinned. We repent of our sins. We commit our lives entirely unto you. Otherwise, all those curses will be under us. God here in verses 25-26, he says, people will ask, what is happening to these people of Israel? Why? Are they burning no more yet? And the answer comes from verses 25-28. He said, then men shall say, because they are forsaking the covenant of the Lord, God of their fathers, which he made with them, which he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is this day. You see, now people are wondering, why is it happening to them? Then you say, because they did not follow the Lord. After their delivery from the land of Egypt, now they turned to other gods. The same thing. We, that God has created, that we should worship Him. We are not worshiping Him. Some days, people don't even want to come to church. If you ask them, oh, I have a lot of things to do. I have to do this, I have to go there. Sunday is my only day to rest. The whole week, I'm so busy, I have to go to work every. Who will give you the strength to even go to work? Who even gave you the job? That you are emphasizing more on the job than the God who can sustain you. We think God cannot give you the vitality to worship Him if you want to. But people will give excuses. They forget about who. The same thing is happening here. They were in trouble in Egypt. God has gone to deliver them. And they have seen His wonders throughout the journey. He opened the Red Sea for them to pass through. He gave them water, manna, everything. And what I've just said, their clothes never worn out. And yet, they want to follow other gods. We are doing the same thing in our days. If you haven't given your life to Christ, you are living in rebellion against God. And these curses are under you. So that is why Moses said in verse 30, he said, see, I have said before thee this day, life and good, and death and evil. Then in verse 16, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His way, and to keep His commandments, and His statutes, and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God should bless thee in the land whither thou goest. You see, God will bless you if you give your life to Him. He will bless you. He controls the world. He's the omnipotent God. And friends, let me also tell you that God does not bless you through any prophecy or through any so-called prayer warrior. He blesses you through Jesus Christ. Have you given your life to Him? Give your life to Him. All your blessings are channeled through Christ, not through any man. So if you let any man deceive you, you'll be missing a lot. So if you are not following the path of life and blessing, which is the path of faith in Jesus Christ, or are you following the path of the death and cursing, which neglects Jesus? What is your final answer? As the who walks with him, the near man said, what is your final answer? What are you saying? Moses said, choose life. You choose life, or you choose your own way. Let's come to our final session, the correct answer. He said, I've given heaven and earth, I've called heaven and earth to witness this day against thee. I've said before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. In other words, Moses is showing that he is a passionate preacher. And every true preacher of the gospel is a passionate preacher because we know what is going to happen. And we warn people. Our main work is to warn people about the coming wrath. And that is what we are doing. We are warning people. The day of wrath will come. So Moses is now preaching like a passionate who wants the best for his loved nation. And that is what we do. We want the best for our people, our children. They must be saved from this wicked and sinful world. So Moses says, choose life. And we are also saying, choose life. He also goes on to tell them of the great benefit that such a choice would be for them. He tells them that if you choose life, these are the benefits. These are the blessings that I'm talking about. He says, thou and thy seed, you and your children, will live if you make this choice. When you say you will live, it means you will be under the guidance of God. And that is where Satan can never go. If you are not under the guidance of God, you can be a prey to Satan. So all these warnings that Moses is giving, he's giving so that people will run away from their own and then come to Christ. So the question as we come to our conclusion is, how do people choose life? How should you choose life? Moses is saying that you should choose life. How should it be done? And in verse 20, Moses gives them three ways in which they were to choose life. First, he said, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. So there are three ways in which you choose life. First, through love. Second, through obedience. And third, through dependence. Jasema Moses in the Kofoy, a kind of almost choose life in. A quabber in a person who chooses her life. And now, verse 20, no, HM, Achim said, the kind of the order. And now, they talk to me, you know, the obedience. Say you obedient upon that same so. And now me and sir, say you never train upon that same so. We depend on God, not on our own. We depend on God, not on our own, not on any prophet, not on any apostle, on God Himself. So, when we say loving God, how do we love God? It's to do with affections. When we say somebody loves somebody, it's to do with affections. It speaks about what stirs inside our souls. What is our soul's delight? Is it delight in this worldly things or about God? Because we'll be doing a book on one. Then he's saying, and he said, Nakuma Mono, or Doma Yankupon, or Doma in Yasimuniama. And the chase the old Dawano, and the better who you are. And then when we say obeying God is about trust. Trusting in God. He said, I will never leave you. No. He has given so many promises in the Bible, and we know God is true. All the promises he will fulfill. He will never leave you nor forsake. Call unto me. Anytime you are in difficulty, he said, call unto me, and I will answer you. So are you trusting in that? If you are trusting in God, you won't trust in any other person or any other being. You only trust in God and in Him alone and your prayer with Him. Now, the next thing is to depend on Him. The same thing. If you are trusting in Him, you will depend in Him. And you depend on Him. And depending on Him means you are depending on His word, the promises that He has given in the Bible. That is your hope. When we come to God, you come to pray to God, you call His promises to Him. You remind Him, God, you have said this and this and that. I've come to you. Give me that help. And God will give you. That is all God is demanding from us. So when we say somebody is dependent on God, is somebody who clings to God. The one serious thing I'm going to say, I'm going to be real. Because I'm going to say, sir, and say, my year can you know? Say, we'll be to me, I'll say, you know, say, what do you mean, and say, you know, it's not everybody now. So, when we go to chapter 29, verses 9, 2 to 4, it says, and Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord had not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. Chapter 29, verses 2 and 4. Yeah, you say. Verses 2 and 4. 2 to 4.
I must say, praise the Lord.
The verse, yet the Lord had not given you an heart to perceive, an eye to see, and ear to hear unto this day. Okay. And here now, what is happening is that Onyankopon asma walk and say, any ma or yema is there in an omu adia na wa yen, omu enti adia wa yamom. And now can say, a radi emma or makuma, a betting yamu emuna adiano. No matter at him, yet the Lord had not given you an heart to perceive, an eye to see, and ears to see. So we see that the people of Israel, even though they were stubborn and they were rebellious because of their own sin and their own choices, you see, they were entirely responsible for their rebellion. And yet, A greater reality is what God is saying here. The Lord had not transformed their hearts to believe. So it is the Lord who tests the heart and the eyes and everything to hear and to see. It is only God who opens the eyes to see the glories of Christ, that true spiritual life is imparted. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 talks about that. The beginning from verse 3. Right? Because if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of Christ, should be shown unto them. And the part of the Obon Sam na wakata yeni. Chaji so nyakupon and the me ebie weni ebie wakumem ama waji na semu eji. So here in chapter 30 verses, Moses is describing the day when God will return, when Israel will return to the Lord. He said, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live." So, do you really want to believe God? Do you want to give your life to Him? Do you want to love Him as He wants you? This is what you must pray for. You must pray for Him to change your heart, to give you a new heart, a heart that will believe His word, a heart that will see what the Lord has done. Otherwise, Satan, that's why I say Satan has blinded the eyes of all those who have not come to believe. Won't you accept that? You better can't. Won't you accept that? We've heard now the same thing. I guess I will bump by you now. Be a kuma. Now be with me. Now we see accept nothing. And now Moses, can have. Now Moses also told them that there are blessings in believing. When you believe, there are blessings. Moses, he can't give them command without showing them what they can gain from that command. For he is, verse 20 said, "For he is thy life and thy strength, and the strength of thy day, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swear unto their fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Here again, you see, Moses, as he has done in the past, he's telling them what they will get if they believe. If they believe in God, and if we believe in Jesus Christ. And the reason why he tells them to choose life is that it's only through choosing the life, giving your life to him, that you will see all these blessings. Then they will live in their land, they will experience blessings of God's initial promises to Abraham, Isaac. You know, God had already promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are his descendants. So for us to enjoy that blessing, we must believe in Jesus Christ. Give our life to him, commit our life to him, repent and believe, and all these blessings shall follow us. So as I bring my message to an end this morning, my question to you is that, what is your final answer to what Moses has said? He said, choose life. Are you going to choose life so that you will be under God and all the blessings, or you are going to disobey God, be on your own, and those curses will follow you? It requires an answer. It's here and we. Or say, me do a warning, kwa, me de ensure any cases at all. Fa, and kwa. Ube fa, nasa won fa. It depends on you. And if you want to do that, right now as you are here, come before God and pray to Him. Ask Him to open your heart, to change your heart, open your eyes to understanding, so you can know that you can see the glory of Christ. And then give your life to Him. Without that, you will never give your life to Christ.